From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of his second message on the theme of Three Essential Elements in Prayer, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Plead His Own Promise. The text is found in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 29. Thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. This is a promise pleaded, and so it yields double instruction to us. Anything which the Lord God has spoken, we should receive as surely true, and then plead it at the throne. Oh, how sweet to quote what our own God has spoken! How precious to use a therefore which the promise suggests, as David does in this verse. We do not pray because we doubt, but because we believe. To pray unbelievingly is unbecoming in the Lord's children. No, Lord, we cannot doubt thee. We are persuaded that every word of thine is a sure foundation for the boldest expectation. We come to thee and say, Do as thou hast said. Bless thy servant's house. Heal our sick. Save our hesitating ones. Restore those who wander. Confirm those who live in thy fear. Lord, give us food and raiment according to thy word. Prosper our undertakings. Especially succeed our endeavors to make known thy gospel in our neighborhood. Make our servants thy servants, our children thy children. Let the blessing flow on to future generations, and as long as any of our race remains on earth, may they remain true to thee. O Lord God, let the house of thy servant be blessed.
Thou be Lord.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns has been examining the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In dealing with the final phrase of this petition, Dr. Cairns has sought to press home three essentials in prayer taught by these words. The first is a vision of our God. Only this will lead us to pray with the reverence and fervency which we desire. As we've already seen, we must have a vision of the glory of God as it is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we need a vision of the grace of God. Recognizing that God's grace is sovereign will give us tremendous confidence as we call upon Him in prayer, especially as we pray for the salvation of seemingly hopeless sinners. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this second message on the subject, Three Essential Elements in Prayer.
What do you do to get a corpse to rise out of its grave? What do you do to bring forth a Lazarus from his cave? What do you do about it? You can talk about it. You can theorize about it. But that will not do any good. It takes sovereign grace. And when you're coming to pray about sinners, this conviction that the grace of God is sovereign will give you tremendous confidence to pray. When you're praying for your loved ones, when you're praying for the people with whom you work and to whom you're witnessing, when you're praying about people to whom you've given out a gospel tract or an invitation to Christ or whatever way you've sought to be in touch with sinners, when you're praying about those people, you realize the power that brings them to Christ is not the power of my witness. It's not the ability in my words. It's not the persuasiveness in my argument. It is the power of sovereign grace. It is the word of a king that goes forth and says, live. And they live. Oh, we need to see the sovereignty of grace. And furthermore, I think when we pray, and this may be particularly true of Calvinists, they need to see the scope of grace. Now, I say it may be true of Calvinists. Anybody who's a true Reformed Protestant, what the world calls a Calvinist, should not need convincing of this. But there has arisen a race of egghead philosophical nitwits who have reduced the gospel to their own stupidity. And they want to have God wrapped up in a little theological box. And they want to believe that there is so little scope for the saving grace of God. The vision I get of the grace of God in Scripture is immense. There are some people who have a vision for themselves. A few more have have a vision for their family. Less still have a vision for their church. Less still have a vision for their neighborhood and for their country. And few indeed have a vision for the world. But if you see the scope of the grace of God, you can look at every continent and every country and say, as God said to Paul when he went to Corinth, that the Lord hath much people in this place. Oh, when we pray, we'll pray all the better when we are certain of the scope of the grace of God and of the success of that grace. You see, God is moving. Sometimes you get the impression that God has moved in every other century since the Reformation, except this century. Well, America has not seen as great revivals this century, though it has seen some limited movings of the Holy Ghost. But America is not the world. It's one of the drawbacks in living in such a vast country as this, that you imagine that this is the world. It's not. And in other places, God has been bringing in his millions. And I dare say that when the record is written, the saved of the 20th century may well outnumber the saved of any other century in history. Remember the scores of millions. 60, 80, perhaps 100 million people. Saved in communist China since 1948. We never think of those. You think of South American lands, where for the last 40 years, 1 million people a year have come to know Christ and have proved the reality of their profession in their constancy in the work and witness of Protestant churches and in their witness and labor to bring others to Christ. God is working. The success of grace is never in question. We need not lose hope of seeing the Lord work mightily, even in our own city, and in our own state, and in our own nation. God, in his grace, is always successful, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in every nation with great success, and then Christ will come. My, when we're praying, we need to have a vision of the grace of God. When we come to the third petition, it reminds us we need to see the greatness of God. Thy will be done. That reminds us of the invincible power of the Holy Ghost to effect the Father's eternal purpose. In Isaiah 46:10, the Lord says, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." How does He do it? By the activity of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the third person of the Trinity. That's how God has always worked. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, came to earth as the God-man, it's very interesting that the Lord Jesus did not do His work merely in the strength, or should I say, in virtue of His own eternal deity. That's what we would have expected. But right at the beginning, we read in Luke 4, verse 18, as He started out His ministry, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Everything the Lord Jesus did, He did by the power of the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Ghost is the one who always carries out, who executes the purpose of God. That's why in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 we read of the apostles that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And Paul said of his own ministry in Romans 15:19 how he worked. And he said, "Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Oh, we need to catch that vision afresh. The work of God needs organization. You'll see that even in the New Testament. That's why there are parts of the New Testament given over to giving details about the organization of the church. It needs organization. But the work of God does not go forward by organization. You don't save souls by organization. You don't get revival by organization. However important it is in the whole economy of things, the work of God goes forward by the power of the Holy Ghost. And when we come to pray, we need a vision of the glory of our God, of the grace of our God, and of the greatness of our God as manifested by the movings of the Holy Ghost. When we see this in Scripture, it will create within us a hunger and a thirst to see it in our own day. When we see how God worked in Scripture, when you are convinced of the reality of a man being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, of a church going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, then you will get down to pray with great urgency that God will show you this, not just in pen and ink, but God will show it to you in the reality of a personal, vital, real experience. If there's one thing the Church of Christ is missing today, it is the vision of the power of the Spirit and prayer that God would give that power. Now, I don't want to spend time on the subject of the fullness of the Holy Ghost in any great detail, but it always seems to confuse people. There are two aspects to it that need to be emphasized. The first aspect deals with a command that you and I must fulfill. The second aspect deals with a sovereign action of God over which we have no control, into which we have no input, and which we humbly receive as being His will. God says in Ephesians 5:18 through the Apostle Paul, "Be ye filled with the Spirit." if I could change the wording slightly to give you what the apostle means. The wording is very important here. He is saying that you should be constantly full of the Spirit. What does that mean? Acts 7:55 speaks of Stephen, and the wording in the Greek text is very strong. He existed full of the Holy Ghost. That was his constant experience. What does it mean? Ephesians 5:18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be constantly full of the Holy Ghost." I put those two parts of the verse together. When a man is drunk with wine or any other alcohol, and the police find him going down the highway, what's the wording of their charge? DUI, driving under the influence. That's the idea. Alcohol controls that man. Controls how he walks. If you've ever seen a drunkard walk, you'll know that. Controls how he talks. Controls how he thinks. Controls his entire perception of reality. In fact, it controls him. That's what alcohol does. Now, that's a bad control. In passing, let me tell you, it works by depression. It gets me a little sick and mad when you hear the Hollywood line that so many people have adopted, that they give somebody a drink and they say that you need a stimulant. Alcohol does not stimulate, it depresses the brain. That just happens to be a medical scientific fact. Depresses the brain. And because it depresses and represses certain inhibitions that God has placed there, sets people so-called free to go and be mad and bad. That's a bad control. Now we're told, be not controlled by that alcohol, but learn something about control from the picture that's painted. You be full, you be under the influence, not of alcohol, but of the Holy Ghost. You be controlled. Yield to the control of the Spirit so that He directs how you walk, how you talk, how you feel, how you think. He directs all that there is to direct in your life. Be full. Now that is your duty. That is my duty. To be under the control of the Spirit. To place ourselves entirely under the control of the Holy Ghost. That is our duty. It is another way of saying, Lord, thy will be done in me, as it's done in heaven.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.